The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In 1966, the United States Air Force funded a group of scientists working at the University of Colorado to perform an in-depth review of Project Blue Book. In addition to examining the UFO files provided by the U.S. military and civilian UFO groups, the scientists also investigated reports that took place during their two-year review. One of the cases that caught their attention was the report of a 22-year-old police sergeant who, after his encounter with a UFO along Highway 63 near Ashland, Nebraska, experienced numerous symptoms often associated with alien abductions. The young police sergeant was invited to Boulder, Colorado, where, under hypnotic regression therapy, memories of that fateful night were uncovered that had seemingly been repressed. This case file joined the theorists as they travel back to that unbelievable Sunday with Dr. Sprinkle in The Abduction of Herbert Shermer.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing Case File 149, Herbert Shermer. I'm Braden.
I'm Zoe.
I'm Dan.
And I am absolutely 100% not doing my fantasy baseball draft while I do this podcast. So everybody knows that. If I look distracted, it has nothing to do with that.
You got sports just on the mind. This guy tried to get away with his fucking Detroit Lions background today.
Yeah.
What? What?
We don't want to be associated with that.
Mm-mm. Don't worry, I got the camera mute button just right here. And at any time, if he gets out of control, just boop, gone.
Hey, listen. Put that evil on me.
I'm going to remember all that.
Don't you put that evil on me, Andrew.
You're not there. You're not going to be there for the worst. You're not going to be there for fucking when it pays off, boys. I bleed Honolulu blue. It's going to fucking pay off.
You know how many Super Bowls
has
I've
it paid
celebrated?
Off since they were 0-13? What was it? 0-16? 0-13?
There's 16 games, so yes, yeah. Unfortunately, it was 0-16.
Yeah, but there's nowhere to go but up, right?
We've been consistently like.
Oh yeah, you can go slightly back up, and then you just go right back down again.
Listen, we haven't won a playoff game since 1992. All right, it's been fucking tough, but it's coming. It's happening. I can feel it. We're gonna be the fucking COVID kitties, and we're gonna win that fucking Super Bowl this year.
There'll always be an asterisk.
Will be the year that they're doing really well in the regular season, then it gets canceled halfway through because of it.
Surge number two.
Yeah. Buddy, it just my luck, the Canucks and the fucking Lions are gonna win this year.
Yeah, I don't want.
And everybody's gonna fucking blame it.
Dude, I would love for the Canucks to win. I would love it, but the one part I would hate about them winning it now is that I would have to listen to every fucking Edmonton and Calgary fan being like, yeah, well, year one doesn't count. The one you got doesn't count. When did you really win one?
Little star. And like,
yeah, and then be like, okay.
Anyways, Herbert Shermer abduction.
Herbert Shermer.
Guy's got the best Shermer. Name to say. All day I've just been walking around just being like, Herbert Shermer.
Herberto.
He goes by Herb. Herb Shermer.
Herberto.
He's got an accent.
So what's up with this guy? This is a pretty I know we've talked about it briefly before in the past come up. It's, you know, pretty interesting UFO abduction case. So why don't we get into it?
Highly recommended by a lot of people. And we decided to do it.
A lot of people have covered it or something. It's more usually known as like the Ashland, Nebraska UFO case, or around there in Nebraska UFO. But so this one takes place way back when, December 3rd, 1967, around 2:30 a.m. Near Ashland, Nebraska. You had Police Sergeant Herbert Schirmer, who was age 22 Schirmer. At the time. He noticed some red lights along the highway, Highway 63 to be specific. And these red lights, which he saw, seemed to be blinking in some sort of pattern. And at first, his initial impression was that this was some type of, it was a truck. That's what right. he thought. It was some truck hauling down the road. And that's just what he saw, these strange lights. As he got closer to these lights, he realized what he was seeing was something that he couldn't quite classify. His initial kind of impressions of this object was that he noticed the red lights. They seemed to be blinking, and this was some sort of craft that seemed to be hovering in the air about 6 to 8 feet above the road. And it was these red lights were shining out of what seemed to be portholes on the side of the ship, like some type of windows of some type. He reported that this object began to slowly ascend, and it made kind of a siren type of noise when it probably exactly like that.
That's what I imagined in my head.
Rebel yell firework. And from the bottom, he said that it seemed to be issuing some type of flame-like substance or display on the underside. So it seemed like some.
I love this. I just pictured like the exhaust of like some illegal street racing cars that spits the fire, you know, when they're revving up the engine. They're just showing off at this point. Shooting fire out the bottom.
That's what you think the UFO is doing? Put on a show?
That's what I pictured, like all little
injecting the NOS. It's like, yeah. They're hitting it.
And well, that's the only explanation. And I'll say this now. When we learn about what they're said to this craft propulsion, like the propulsion system, it doesn't make sense in this description that it's shooting fire. So I can only assume that this is just a straight up flex.
It's just
a straight up that, UFO flex.
What do humans like?
UFO Nebraska drift. Like, that's what this is.
Yeah, they're stuff. They're like, what do humans like? They watched, well, I guess, no, this is way before. What was there any type of Fast and the Furious movie back in the day like that? Like drag
Ben,
racing
I guarantee seven? You, here's my new UFO scenario, is that time travel eventually exists. You know how Tom Cruise is going into space for the next movie?
Right.
Well, like Fast 15, they're actually going to go back in time.
So this is Fast 15.
Right, to film it. This is Fast 15. This is
so it's going to be like it. It's going to be a 1970 fucking Dodge Charger equipped with a flux capacitor.
Yeah, back to the future of the Fast.
When I see space cops in my rear view, I don't slow down.
Oh, Fast to the Future. That's what it will be. Fast to the Future. Yeah,
Fast to the Future. Got it. Yes. That's so fucking good. Damn. You know where that franchise is going. You got Dom Toretto. It's all about the family. They're going back. He's going back to have sex with his grandma to put himself in a loop, right? He'd be his own dad. Right? It's all about the family. I like it. Fast to the Future. Oh, that's good.
The bring back CG Paul Walker.
Yeah.
So Herbert Schirmer sees this object, and from what he reported, he encountered this thing. He looked at it out the window. He saw these red lights, and then the object began to ascend, making this type of noise. And then it got to a certain altitude and it just shot up out of sight, which we hear reported in a lot of UFO sightings where they just suddenly get to a certain point and they just kind of, take off. Shermer said that he got out of the police car after he had seen this object, and with his flashlight, he inspected the surface of the road where the object had been seen to be hovering close to the ground. And he kind of, you know, to see if it had left any type of marks. He didn't really remember seeing any type of, you know, burn marks. There weren't any things on the ground. After this, he you know, he figured that he's like, I've seen something incredible. I can't explain what this is. And in his own interview, and like his own words, he's like, as a policeman, like due to my training and stuff, automatically I'm like, I need to write this down. I need to put this down in my logbook. So I need to get back to the police station.
Now, the one thing I'll say about this part that struck me as odd is that I listened to a couple of interviews with him. And he says, yeah, due to my police training and all of that, you know, this is 1967. And early he claims, he goes, you know, I thought about becoming a police officer, and I went to my dad, and then I went to the station. 5 minutes later, I was a police officer. I got hired right there. And then later when it goes like, you know, all my police training, I was like, buddy, you got hired off the street. Like, there wasn't a lot of training happening there. Having said that, big military background. So, you know, it's not out of the question that he was relying on some sort of training. And I'm sure any cop will tell you that it's basic that everyone has a notebook, write your notes.
Write everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
CYA.
I can vouch for military, like 75% of your job is, taking logs.
Observe and report.
That's a lot of it.
Dropped yeah. wrench.
You got to have really nice handwriting.
Dropped wrench, returned wrench.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that sounds like something I've probably written at some point.
Dude, I want to make a FOIA request to get Dan's notes from his military days.
The Maester's logs.
My engineering logs.
No, yeah. Dan probably wrote some fucking like masterpiece novel or something when he just forgot about it in his notes.
Yeah.
It's lingering.
Oh no, this lot of it is bullshit. One SSTG malfunction cannot start one STG, so have to shift to two STG. It's real dumb shit. It's a lot of dumb stuff.
We'll see. Anyway, so Herbert Shermer writes in his logbook right away.
He gets to the police station. While he is driving to the police station, he said that he attempted to radio ahead to kind of tell them like what he had seen, or he kind of check in with the police station. And he said that his radio at the time was not working. This is also a common characteristic.
Ooh, electronics. We've
had before, you know, UFO encounters, electronics go on the fritz.
Going down.
You know, some sort of EM interference, perhaps. We don't know. So he gets to the police station. He says he writes down in his logbook, or in one of the you know, his patrol logbook, saw a flying saucer at junction of Highway 6 and 63. Believe it or not, George isn't at home. No, he didn't write that part.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I saw a flying saucer.
Well, I think these are like, I think this is one of those things. I have some friends that are law enforcement, and notes like that can be reviewed by a supervisor. So if someone was writing this in and knowing that like a supervisor would read it, that's why you would write that. Be like, I saw this, like you're writing it for someone, expecting that someone may review it.
Right.
That's how I imagined. Cause when I could see if you thought like, why would you write it like that? That's weird. But if you were expecting someone to be reviewing your notes, or if there's an audit and someone has to review them, yeah, like that's why you're writing something like that. Writing that. And then you're probably like, well, that's going to believe it or not, like whatever. So you're basically writing that for someone else who's going to review your notes.
Yeah. Now, when I was came across this case, there's always talk about in UFO cases like missing time. But in this particular case, it seems like after he writes in his logbook, he says like he notices now that's 3 a.m. But then this only happened half an hour before. So I was like, how far from the station was he? Like half an hour missing time doesn't seem like that much. Unless was he like right next to the station? And then by the time he got back, it was like.
Well, he kind of seemed to think that this encounter was a mere couple minutes. So I think that's the astonishing part of like him seeing the saucer, you know, pulling over and going, Jiminy Christmas, getting out, expecting it, going, holy shit, radio's not working. Oh, I saw a UFO, believe it or not, in his car driving. Then all of a sudden he's like, what the fuck? It's three. Like, that's fucking weird.
How far? No, it says like when he wrote this in the logbook, it was 3 a.m. So I was wondering like how far from the.
Well, he said that the whole thing probably, he felt like it didn't last more than 10 minutes of what he saw and then coming back.
And also, I'll say this. As a working man, Andrew, I got a question for you. So if you could stop making your draft picks for a second to answer. As a working man who works night shift, while you're on a night shift, is there any point in the night where you're like unaware? You're like, oh, I'm unaware of the time right now. Or are you just like counting the hours like, holy fuck, I got a couple more hours left.
Counting every single fucking minute,
right?
So and that's zero exaggeration.
So I would think that you would know at all times, like you're working, you'd be like driving around. It's the middle of the fucking night. How big's Ashland, Nebraska? Like, what are you doing in the middle of the night?
Oh, when he said that after he saw this craft or after he had his encounter and he was driving back to police station, you know, he definitely remarked like, I drove at high speed. So, I mean,
oh, yeah, he said that
he fucking hauled ass to write this fucking report.
Yeah.
So he writes this report in the logbook, makes it official. That he's like, I saw a flying saucer. But he also relates this tale to another officer who came in later that morning. It's probably about 5 or 6 a.m. I don't know the officer's last name. He refers to him as Paul. Who Herbert said that he had a pretty good relationship. They were friends. And he told Paul, honestly, what he saw. Like, I saw something out there that I can't really explain. He described the craft. And Officer Paul surprisingly responded with, I believe you.
Like, not only I believe you, but he's like, listen, I seen them too. Like, I've seen UFOs and little green men like running on the side of the road. I've seen it. I just never tell anyone.
No, you know what? I seriously think this guy's queuing him up to look like an asshole. He's like, no, I believe you 100%. Go around, tell fucking everybody what you saw. I got your back.
I mean, he told Herb.
No, but no, he told like, Herb, yeah.
Two encounters that he had or stuff that he had seen.
He said he's seen two before. UFO stories or two UFOs on the side of the road one time or something.
Yeah, yeah. With little green men.
Were they wearing silver suits and dancing?
Probably dancing. But the crazy thing is he tells Herb, he's like, listen, don't tell anyone. Like, you're going to be ridiculed. Don't tell a soul. Like, you shouldn't tell anyone about this, right? So it's like when you're saying that, oh, maybe he's, you know, kind of like trying to rile him up or whatever. It doesn't really make sense that he would be so adamant to like give him the advice of like not tell, like don't tell him, don't tell anyone. Just forget what you saw. Keep it to yourself. Having said that, in his interview, like if I had a coworker and I was like relating this experience to them, and they were that supportive, been like, listen, I believe you, and I've seen something I'm going to share with you, I would be pumped. And in like future interviews, I would be like, yeah, he, you know, really helped me. And Herb in his interview is like, yeah. And then Paul told me his story, and I was like, yeah, right, Paul. Yeah,
right, you kick rock.
I was like, you're just claiming to see a UFO, and you're going to look this guy who tells you a UFO story and go, yeah, right, Paul.
Listen, fucking Paul, loon. Do not try to fucking get the same idea I got and fuck with my book deal. All right, pal?
Yeah.
This is all me. It has nothing to do with you. It's all Herberto Sherman.
No, what it was is Paul, I'm sure Paul's that guy in the office. You know that guy. And Herb was like, I don't want to be that guy. So like, yeah, right, Paul. Like, yeah, good try. So like
pretty much the Craig. Everybody's got that Craig in the office.
Yeah, everyone's got a Craig in the office.
Everybody's got the Craig. Nobody wants to be like Craig.
And if you don't have a Craig, you're the Craig.
So later in the morning, after Shermer, I think this is post Shermer got off his shift, you know, doing the overnight. And he said that he got home. And when he got home, he suddenly started to suffer like kind of a serious headache. And he said he described having some sort of like weird buzzing in his head. And then he also said that he discovered some type of like what seemed to be like a red welt on the back of his neck. He described it as being about 2 inches long and about half inch wide. And reports kind of vary that it was located near a nerve cord below one of his ears.
I read that and I was wondering, what's a nerve cord by your ear? Is that a real thing?
Well, I'm sure
there's the one underneath.
There's like a cluster here.
Inner orbital or whatever. Your inner orbital
nerve. Oh, so when you like push behind your ear, that's your nerve cord?
Or there's like there's the C-clamp behind whatever that's called.
What the fuck are you talking?
What's the fucking nerve clamp on the back of your neck there that people can grab?
Christ.
Someone,
I'm not a fucking medical expert.
Medical expert. God. Can you please chime in here and let us know what we said wrong?
I don't know. It sounds like a whole lot of wrong to me. The C clamp and the fucking.
Well, where's the fucking guitar strings up there? You can...
guitar strings?
Oh, man.
What happened? Yeah. Where did we take this?
All right. Listen, if you're watching our live stream, he's just Googling the answer now. What are they called? What are the nerve clusters?
Buddy, I can't be fucking doing that. I got my fantasy draft going on here. I can't be Googling shit.
Baseball
sucks. What's the nerve clusters behind the ear? Where's the nerve cluster? Or the
good question.
What's he talking about?
It's like that. Yeah, it's behind your ear. If you push behind your ear hard enough, gives you a headache.
I thought that was the infraorbital or whatever.
Nerve fucking cluster. Jesus Christ.
Okay, we're going with it. Buy the nerve cluster, buy his ear. He has a red welt.
While he's at home, he gets a phone call from Chief Bill Blaskin, who's the police chief, his boss, and pretty much saying, like, Herb, what the fuck?
What the fuck is this shit?
What the fuck is this shit that you just wrote down, you dumb, like, what? What is this? And, I need you to come down to the station right now and tell me what you saw. And Herb told him, like, no, I feel sick. Like, he felt sick enough that he's like, I can't drive to the police station right now and do that. Like,
yeah,
I feel way too sick.
He was nauseous, 100% sick, not going anywhere.
So Chief Bill's like, well, okay, fuck, I'll go there. So he goes there and they have a conversation and he tells him what he saw and what he experienced. And a few hours later, Chief Bill went out to visit where the site was, and it was reported that he found some type of small metallic object, and that a chemical analysis was run on it, and it seemed to be composed of iron and silicon. Now, later, this whole entire experience would end up being reviewed by the Condon Project out of the University of Colorado, and the Condon Project was kind of the precursor to Project Blue Book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, so you have that going on and they're like, this was good enough to kind of pull their attention and be like, okay, this is a UFO case. Let's check this out.
Yeah. You know. So Bill sends it in. Condon Project looks into it. They get back to Bill and they go, it's shit, Bill. He's like, what do you mean it's shit? He's like, it's literal shit. You said this some shit.
I mean, shit composed of iron and silicon. So,
yeah. but they come back and they say it's, they say, like, you know, it's probably just ordinary corroded earthly waste.
Yeah.
Earthly shit.
Yeah.
It's funny because, prior to our last week's episode with Bruce Fenton, I would have just glazed over this. But as soon as I saw this, like, iron and silicon, I'm like, Bruce is talking about silicon crafts.
Could very well be, it could be some sort of craft composed of that kind of, I'd be more on board for like quartz, because quartz always seems to pop up every now and then, but iron silicon. Eh.
Well, yeah, silicon was just when silicon was starting to be used for like commercial goods. That's right. Like during the moon, the Apollo missions, they were starting to use silicon for a lot of stuff. Like I think the boots and stuff were made of silicon, but I think in like regular commercial use, silicon wasn't super widely available except for Silly Putty. Remember Silly Putty?
Yeah, of
course. Yeah, it's delicious.
Remember Silly Putty? Yeah, like I would still buy it. Like
100%. You see that shit in the grocery store?
You can roll it into a ball and bounce it like a bouncy ball. Like, fuck,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fucking
have
cool.
You seen what that fucking thing can do to newspapers?
Yeah. Amazing.
You could make little hot dogs, little hamburgers, little meatballs.
Yeah.
That explains so much. Braden was the kid that ate all his toys. Didn't matter what it was. Tonka trucks.
It's true.
G.I. Joes.
All Barbies, Legos, buddy. All. Yeah.
Some Legos never came out the other end.
No.
You still got those berries.
No,
deep
they're
in
still
your
in there.
Intestinal tract.
It's half man, half Lego.
Buddy, I am Legoland.
So, like, the Condon Committee reviewed this case and like, they felt like something was there. They felt like there's something that he actually experienced something. That was kind of their conclusion, whether or not it was, you know, it was something. There's something there. So after, you know, Herbert reported this whole experience to his boss and to Officer Paul and all this, the story started getting around town. And Herb says that after that, a few days later, the phone calls start coming. People calling him, you know, whether it's either razzing him about his experience, but also
yeah.
people
hey,
are interested.
Hey, it's Mars calling. Like he Nerd. Said, like people actually would call and like say that to him. Like, hey, this is Mars calling.
Of course.
I think he said one of his neighbors like caught him like while he was walking down the side of walking down the sidewalk and like ran up to him and said, hey, if you see the aliens again, tell him to bring me some new tires.
No. He sold tires. Yeah. He was a tire salesman. He's like, hey, if they come again, let them know I want to sell them a set of tires.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, okay, thanks. Cool.
That's fucking hilarious.
That's good.
Yeah. So he was definitely getting, you know, a hard time about this whole encounter and things like this. So after that, a couple weeks later, you know, the Connor report, you know, people hearing about this, some folks call him up and they're like, we want to hook you up with a specialist.
The specialist?
With a specialist.
Of what?
Right? We want you to meet somebody.
God damn it, Jim. We've had another case.
God damn it, Jim. Not another abductee.
God damn it, Jim. It happened in Nebraska. A watchman.
God damn it, Jim. Not Nebraska. What are we going to do?
I see no other way, Jim. I think we have to utilize the Sprinkle Initiative.
The Sprinkle Initiative, Jim? God damn it. You out of your mind?
God damn it, Jim. Get him on the phone.
Bring.
You got Sprinkles.
God damn it, Sprinkle. This is your country calling. The United States of America.
Yes, I understand that, but you know what? There's a big, big, big list for Mr. Leon Sprinkles right now. You know, it's a popular season. We got grads, we got 3-year-old birthday parties. Hypnotists are very hot right now.
God damn it, Sprinkles! Listen to me! Your country needs you!
Now, you listen to me, Mr. Jimison. Nobody speaks to Leon Sprinkles like that.
God damn it, Dr. Sprinkle! Are you going to answer your country's call or not? I'll have you court-martialed.
Mr. Jimison, I think your eyelids are getting very heavy right now. I think you're slowly dozing off, counting sheep, slowly falling asleep on the end of the phone.
God damn it, Jim, wake up!
God damn it, he's good, Jim. Got me again.
God damn it, Jim. He's the kind of good we need.
And that's how Dr. Sprinkle arrived on the screen.
The specialist, Dr. Sprinkle, recruited by Jim Jimerson.
Well, I imagine how it gets, because how the fuck else are you... How do you look at a guy, like, is that his stage name? Leon Sprinkle, the traveling hypnotist?
No, I mean, his actual name is Dr. Leo Sprinkle. And Leo, Dr. Leo Sprinkle was a well-known hypnotist. He specialized in type of hypnotism, regression hypnosis, which was, you know, big at the time. And, you know, they felt that Dr. Leo Sprinkle was the person that would be able to kind of perhaps, you know, since it had been popularized by the Betty and Barney Hill case and a couple of other alien abduction cases, they figured, why not? You know, I mean, they're like, we want you to come up to Boulder, Colorado.
Fucking why not, eh? Exhausted. Let's get a hypnotist in.
I'm sure they heard about his kind of, you know, his confusion about the time. Like, I'm sure they kind of homed in on that. And they're like, well, you know, missing time is usually... That means that perhaps there is some, you know, locked away, some memories locked away in there, missing time, you know, missing memories. And those can be accessed through regression hypnosis, which was that was the big thing at the time.
All right. Just before we get into those last memories through hypnosis, let's take a quick beer break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. All right. So we're leaving off with the hypnosis under Dr. Leo Sprinkle.
Right. The sprinkle initiative has been activated.
Yeah. I'll bring back your memories with a little sprinkle.
Yeah, that's right. A little sprinkle. Now tell us, Mr. Shermer, where did the aliens touch you on a bum bum? What happened? Go ahead now. You're so, in a face spray.
Just on a quick tangent, when I heard it was Dr. Sprinkle, I was like, that is my new horror movie concept of Dr. Sprinkle, the psychotic ice cream man who kills people with ice cream toppings.
Yeah.
Like, ice cream topping related deaths.
Buddy, like have you seen The Burbs?
Not for a long time.
Not for a long time. Man,
that's what he fucking, there's a story of a
Dr. Sprinkle
serial killer that sounds just like that.
Just kills people with fucking ice cream toppings and a cherry on top.
I like that.
I was like, I went on for, oh man, 10 minutes of thinking about that. That was fun.
Dance right in the screenplay.
In my head, going through this whole thing. It's like gummy bears. Melting gummy bears, like a ice big cream? Melted gummy bears on somebody, and they're like sealed inside. Like
that's how you know he's a fucking serial killer, because he puts gummy bears on his ice cream. That's fucked.
I think I actually only did that once when I was a kid, and I was like, I don't like this.
That was a mistake. You might as well put silly putty on it.
No.
Yeah, no gummy candy.
Any ideas, Braden? All right, don't be putting silly putty on your ice cream. It's not a good idea.
It all sounds good. Just leave out the ice cream.
If it looks good, Braden will eat it.
Yeah, I've got silly putty and Haribo stuck in my head right now.
Oh, Haribos are bomb, but by themselves, that's it. Yeah. You don't need anything else.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so anyway, so what is, so obviously Herbert Shermer comes in to Dr. Sprinkle, and he's going to get this regression hypnosis therapy.
Right. So they put Herbert through the, what would be considered the standard regressive hypnosis kind of trials. They put him through the, you know, we regress him to age 7, we regress him back up to age 14. Like, they put him through all of that kind of stuff. So they, you know, to somehow, I guess, I don't know, calibrate their regressive hypnosis technique, I
sure.
guess.
Sure.
You know, that's how it works, I guess. And so when they regressed him back to the night of his encounter, he came in with some new information or recovered memories of what had happened in that missing time that he felt that, you know, he had lost during the encounter. So during this time, he said that he felt his car pulled uphill right after he had seen this craft, which was landing. And he remembered being unable to move and experiencing a kind of tingling sensation, but still being kind of paralyzed and not able to move at all. The craft landed and a hatch opened up in the front of it. And these two very human shaped forms approached his vehicle.
And at this point, it has something in his hand. And like this part of the interview with him, when you're hearing him talk about it, and the, it, it really sounds like he was concerned at this point. Like they have something in their hand. They have something in their hand. And I imagine, like, as a police officer, that would be a scary thought. Like, something's approaching you. You're not sure what's in their hands. I'm sure you're trained to be like, is that a gun? Is that a weapon? And he actually tries to go for his gun, and he can't. He's just kind of frozen in, some sort of suspended state.
A familiar trait with UFO or abduction cases, like what the last one we done, the Andreessen one, like same thing. They freeze you. You can't move. They freeze you as they teleport through the door in that case. But in this case, same type of thing. They have some type of control, like telepathic control over you.
Through the light. Like we don't know, but he definitely heard like telepathic voices.
Yeah.
They approach his vehicle with this some sort of silver instrument. And he said that some sort of green light issued out from the device. And then he felt a quick sensation. He couldn't really describe what it was, but he felt something. And then he says he felt nothing. So I guess he could feel, you know, whether it was they felt the sensation and then the absence of that sensation. Then the second creature being approached his vehicle and reached through the open window of his patrol car and pressed another type of object to Schirmer's neck. And he said that this object resembled something like a silver pencil with a ball at the end.
Uh-oh. And I did find this interesting that up until this point, he didn't hear anything. And after this is touched, then he begins to seemingly understand them or they communicate with him after this moment. So I don't know if whatever they touched to his neck, like, you know, they said it attached to some nerves, was maybe sending some sort of electrical pulses to his brain or something to help him understand either their, you know, their telepathic thoughts or their language or what. But I found that kind of interesting. That it wasn't until this point, and then he kind of hears, like, communicates with them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I that's a really good connection because I didn't even think about that for some reason. That after they do this to him, he's able to kind of communicate with them because they address him, you know, through language or like a physical language. And they say they inquired of him, "Are you the watchman of this town?"
That's a great question.
It's a great question. And two, like, even, and you know, I've read it in other things that say, like, a lot of people point to this thing as saying, like, this is why we believe this guy, because this guy has, like, no educational background and none of this. And, like, this is, people wouldn't think to make that, like, little thing up. But, like, saying watchman instead of policeman, or, you know, officer or anything, it makes so much sense in context, but yet not close enough where it's like, you know, that's off, but you completely understand. If he's not to be believed and he made this all up, to me, this aspect of his story of saying that line, "Are you the watchman of this town?" is fucking genius.
Well, but see, the thing is, during the interviews, though, he referred to himself as a watchman many times. This isn't the only instance that watchman came up. When he talked about his job, he referred to himself as a watchman.
Yeah, but is it because of after this situation? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is all post now that he's having this interview. It's just very weird saying.
He, after the regression hypnosis, he's like, "Watchman, that's a good fucking term. I'm going to use that."
That sounds fucking cool.
He's like, "I'm going to say that even though no one else calls us that."
Listen, I read a comic and it was fucking cool. I'm pretty much Dr. Manhattan.
Was this like 20, 30 years of Watchman?
But, you know, they come out, they say, "Are you the watchman of this town?" And he replies, "Yes, sir." Like, you know.
Right. So he was, at this point, he was able to respond to them. So he was able to move after they touched it. So whether this silver pencil ball thing released him from the effects of the freezing effects.
And this is another interesting, you know, part I've wondered. I wonder if he indeed ever left the car, or if he had some sort of outer body experience. That's what I really played with, because he doesn't really describe coming back in the car. You know, there's some blurriness, but to me, like, they touch him with a pen. Now he can move around. Could he move around, or was he just having an unbelievable out of body experience with whatever they touched him with?
Yeah. Either way, He does remember going inside the ship, and he does. I'm pretty sure he describes like the physical sensations of going inside the ship, standing on these platforms, you know, interacting with these beings, you know, through touch. So whether it's, you know, I don't, again, out of body experience, maybe, I don't know. When he gets inside the ship, he describes seeing in his hypnotic state, these memories coming back. He describes seeing these 12-foot, what seemed to be 12-foot silver pillars. And within the center of the room that they entered into the ship, there's some sort of like cocoon shaped object that seemed to be spinning and giving off these rainbow colored lights, like just a bunch of, you know, like multicolored
bending and swirling around.
Right. Yeah. He didn't really describe whether they were rotating. It just kind of like it was, I'm not sure if they were like moving all around the object or it was kind of, if it was like moving, like, you know, like a generator or something like that. Not 100% sure in his recollection, you know. So he actually at this point asked the ETs, like he asked them, you know, point blank. He was pretty much like, how does this craft work? Like, how does this thing work? And I guess the being was kind enough to respond and kind of try to explain to him. And in Herb's own words, that he remembers that this being told him that the craft operated on concepts of electrical reversible magnetism.
Reversible magnetism.
Right. Because, you know, magnets, how do they work?
Yeah. It's... Yeah, fucking magnets. It's crazy.
Nobody knows how magnets work.
But that's what I'm saying is like, so he's saying that the ETs are telling him this. So it doesn't make sense that earlier on, he's like, for me, this part, I'm like, I wonder if this part's a little bit of adding to the story later, because when he's saying like, yeah, it was, you know, it's spitting fire out, some sort of little light show. I'm like, well, why? What would be the point of having some sort of exhaust shooting flames if, like, I know nothing about electrical reversible magnetism, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be any flames coming out of there.
We should have talked about that. We should have talked to that guy at AlienCon.
Oh,
talked about anti-gravity. Probably would tell us all about electrical reversible magnetism.
Well, the only thing I could find about electrical reversible magnetism, or not, probably not the only thing I could find, but the only thing I found... it's actually more about like some type of memory storage. So on engineering360.com, it's pretty much saying researchers have been able to create and annihilate magnetic properties in a non-magnetic material. That's what electrical reversible magnetism means to these guys. And it's pretty much a new type of memory storage, adding extra layers to memory storage. So pretty much faster and more storage in a device. I could not find anything to do with propulsion. That does not mean...
You know, that's interesting because he said that, you know, these ETs talked to him about, like, you know, basically abducting people at random, and they're trying to ease for invasion. And when he was pressed on the word invasion, they were like, you know, so they're going to come and, like, take over? He's like, no, they meant in a nice way. They're trying to... They want to disclose this to everyone, but they're trying to do it randomly. And they were like giving him information and giving other people information. So when you say this has something to do with memory, I wonder if like they've, rather than there's been some kind of miscommunication between him and them, and they're trying to explain to him like what they're doing to him. And he's asking about the ship, but they're trying to explain what they're doing to him.
Maybe.
And maybe they've done something to his memory, right? Like given him some sort of new layers in his memory. You know, to help the future. That just kind of popped in my head when you started talking about memory.
Yeah, I mean, it's very complicated. From what I read, this is a very complicated thing that I could not even try to explain, but that's all I could find.
Yeah. So, maybe it was a concept beyond kind of what he could understand, or perhaps maybe that's what his brain kind of, again, maybe the translation wasn't perfect or whatever they were, the technology they were using to communicate.
If they're saying, oh, our propulsion systems are, you know, electrical reversible magnetism, but then on the other side of the coin, they're calling him the Watchman. I'm like, all right, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like at that point, if you can use the terms electrical reversible magnetism, you know those concepts, and then like, like enough to speak them in English.
They could have been Google translating their language. Like it doesn't. That's true. Google translates never 100%.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And Watchmen's goddamn close. Like that would make sense. Someone who watches over the town. That's it. Like it logically makes sense. It's some bad Google AI translate.
Yeah, but so they isn't one of the theories though, like because these aliens actually looked human like.
Well, did they though? Because in later, you know, renditions and stuff. I thought for some reason I read, maybe I just saw some of the videos I was watching. They kept showing reptilians, but I thought they were some sort of reptilian race. Oh no, they had the winged serpent crest.
The crest on their thing, but they actually looked very much human-like.
Yeah, they look very human-like. The only thing that he kind of described as being notable in their features that is distinctly not human were their eyes. I think he said they had like non-blinking vertical, like kind of slanted vertical eyes.
Oh, so they are reptilians.
Maybe.
Shape-shifting reptilians.
I don't think he said they like specifically they had scaly looking faces. I think it was very much gray. But yeah, like they had, I think they have vertical slits for eyes. So perhaps maybe.
He talks about them trying to give him information and really pass that we have nothing to fear from them. And like everything about this encounter from his perspective seems to be positive. Like he wasn't scared. They really reassured him, you know, when he says this in under hypnosis.
Hmm. Yeah. And the beings seem to be, you know, they're very happy to, or they seemed, you know, very, you know, not excited, but they were like giving him a full tour of the ship. They seemed very interested in informing him about, you know, where they're from, because they take him to an actual, you know, out of whatever is like the engine room with this rainbow cocoon in the middle. They moved him up to a second floor in the ship. They actually took him, and he said it was some sort of glass platform that just kind of formed, and then they took that up to the second floor, and they took him and showed him, you know, he described it as a screen, so it was a 2D screen.
They took him up to their 92-inch LED backlight, what's the top of the line right now?
QLED.
QLED backlit. Yeah. Touch screen,
right.
And showed them the universe of where they're from.
Literally, yes, they did do that. So it was like when they're communicating with him, they showed him a star map, like a map of, or at least like what seemed to be like a section of the night sky. You know, he's Herbert Shermer again. His education is not that, you know, comprehensive. He'd only had like a high school degree. He'd never been to a academic, and he never really studied astronomy, even if he had.
He has no idea what he's looking at.
Yeah, he knows like these are stars, okay.
And they pointed at one. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, and also I don't think this being was exactly like going around it the best way, because it kind of just pointed at one.
Here we
are. That's what he reported. Is that it's like this is where we're from. Watchmen.
And Herbert was probably like, oh, cool.
That's sure. Cool.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Is that the cool. North Star? You're from, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm familiar.
What the fuck is he gonna know? Yeah.
And so the beings went on to go to relate about, like, you know, why they're here. You know, he asked them, like, why are you here? Because why not? Like, first question you're gonna ask, how does your craft work? And then why are you here? And they, you know, responded with, you know, we're here to get electricity.
That for me, when I read, I was like, that was the one thing in the case. I was like, why Earth? For electricity is a universal constant, must be. Why come to Earth to get it? Unless it was a mistranslation again and it was some type, something else. Because electricity itself is pretty, must be pretty common.
Yeah, yes, but we also manufacture it.
But, right? I mean, if you could traverse the distance of space or time or both, you're going to come here for a little nuclear energy or some, like, or what kind of electricity would be so valuable on Earth that you couldn't do it somewhere else? Is what I would
imagine. Anything that we have is archaic compared to what they have.
That's what I mean.
Able to do interstellar travel.
That's what makes me wonder. Maybe it was a mistranslation of some kind. Maybe he didn't.
Well, perhaps, but the thing is that after the beings told him this, they actually, you know, they took him to some sort of like observation deck within the craft or at the top of the craft. And he remarked on, like, they had these type of chairs up here that were able to kind of observe.
Oh, yeah. He fucking loved these chairs. Holy shit. He's oh, they're like chairs, but they're not chairs. They're like dentist chairs, but they're better than dentist chairs. They're chairs.
So
like,
what you're telling
fuck,
me is this
buddy.
Fucking guy doesn't know much about astrology, but he's all about the fucking chairs.
Yeah, you know, this guy knows his chairs. Massage chairs.
This is a fucking series 3 9,000.
No, he knows
chair
a good
here.
Chair when he sees one. He lets you know. These are some good chairs.
In this observation deck, after they had told him that they need to get electricity or obtain electricity, he said that he remembers seeing a large antenna-like structure which extended from the outside of the ship towards a power unit. He referred to a power unit. I'm not sure if he's talking about like a power line or something like that, because they weren't near like a power relay station or nothing,
right,
or anything like that, that, you know, that I remember reading about or hearing him talk about. But that this antenna seemed to issue from it a bolt of what he couldn't even describe the color. It was like, it was an indescribable color. He can't even, you know, from his memories, it was just a bolt of energy of some type. And this process that it, you know, this bolt going back and forth from this power unit or from the power lines, seemed to last that what he remembers approximately about 3 minutes, and then it was done. And then
you know what this kind of makes me think of? I'm like, okay, so say if they are drawing power, if they're drawing power and this is to be believed, then maybe other UFOs are drawing power. And then I wonder how hard it is to find out. Cause I like, if you're, you know, on, we kind of monitored the power grid. So yep. If there was some sort of like anomaly of like, there's like all of a sudden a power draw from like somewhere else in their like circuit, you think that somewhere someone would know about this. And I wonder if anyone works. I have no idea. I will say right now, I know nothing about electricity. I know if I stick a fork in those outlet, it hurts. Don't stick a fork in the toaster. It hurts.
Yep.
Right. That's all I know. But what I'm saying is that if there's anyone who, you know, is any kind of electrical engineer, is that a thing? Could that, is there anomalies where, you know, where you're seeing draws in cities or something like that, that are out of the norm, that just kind of get washed away? They're like, oh, that's kind of strange. I wonder if that happens. And I wonder if that's a way to trace these UFOs.
Well, it'd have to be, because like the power grid is like a very simple yet also super complex thing. Is like they know they have to generate the precise amount of power all the time, or it either gets unused and shot back into the ground, or you have blackouts because you don't have enough energy to go around. But because we deal in such high volumes of electricity, like the power grids have so much energy in them that if it was just a little extra draw here and there, you would never know. But if you would have to have like
sometimes
an insane
I wonder if these mass
surge.
Blackouts. Like if these mass blackouts that have happened in the past, maybe it can be attributed to you know, these things recharging.
Yeah. So on that point, actually, when we were doing the Andreessen affair and I was researching about that, there was a part later that Andreessen, she reported that these creatures or the beings that she had encountered, you know, the Quazga and all his gang, were actually responsible or partially responsible for the rolling blackouts in New York during the 1970s. Like their craft had whether they did it to recharge a ship, I don't remember reading about that, but it's like they were able to manipulate, you know, lightning storms and energies, and whether to use that for whatever their purpose.
I find that so interesting because, you know, how many times do like that I'll be here where I live and, you know, the power will go out for like 25 minutes or whatever, and it'll be like, oh, we had, you know, electrical failure here. And then you're like, well, why? And I'm like, I'm just thinking now, is this possibly these things, our systems maybe got so good at handling this that it doesn't happen as often? Because of whatever, I imagine whatever their ships run is running amazingly efficiently, so they wouldn't need an incredible amount, but maybe it's not crippling the system like it did, you know, back in time a little bit.
Hey, probably not, but maybe because, yeah, I mean, we have like smart grid systems now, which we pretty much know exactly how much energy that we need at different types of times of the day. Like in peak times, they'll open the dams a little bit more. They'll pump more energy into the grid. But yeah, if you had something that would draw an insane amount of power really quickly and you didn't have it accounted for, it would cause a localized blackout for a short period of time.
I like that if you're telling me that anytime my lights are flickering, that that's some sort of UFO drawing from the system, I'm in. I'm in. Sure. I like that. I like that a lot.
The power grid is surprisingly consistent, though. How many times a year does your power actually go out? A couple? A few times a year? A
couple times, yeah.
It's pretty amazing how you can always have power to your house.
But I'll tell you, my lights every now and then do a little flicker to the point where I go,
UFO coming down, siphoning?
I used to say this in my head. I used to go, ghosts. And now I'm going to go,
aliens.
But
some people say one and the same.
Yeah.
So now at the end, this is coming towards the end of this encounter. The beans relayed their kind of final message to Herb, saying that their kind of plan or their whatever they were doing was to, again, Brayden kind of touched on this already, that it's like, we're here not to help you. We're here not to harm you. When Herbert was in the interview, when he was doing the regression hypnosis, he said, you know, we're here to prepare you for the invasion. And they said, hold on a second.
One second.
Yeah.
Did you say invasion? Like invasion? They asked him while he was in the trance. And he's like, no, it's not quite that. Like, it's not, they don't mean invasion in a type of, they didn't mean it in like an aggressive type of invasion or takeover.
Sure,
like,
they didn't.
No. More. You know what? That's perfect. That's perfect because that, to me, that's, Zell, exactly what you were saying. That speaks to that there was some sort of, there was miscommunication in the sense that they're like, not everything's translating properly. But in context, he understood that invasion did not mean like, you know, the invasion as we think.
Right. It wasn't invasion as in like subjugation. It was like invasion as in they plan to kind of reveal themselves to randomly selected subjects. They said that, you know, why? I think Herb kind of asked them like, why me? And they're like, you just happened to got picked. Like, we're just doing it to everybody, random people all over the world.
And he said that they told him that it's because they don't want the governments, you know, just getting any patterns from them.
Right.
Keep it random.
Which I found very interesting, which means that like they were aware that like the nation's governments
were onto them.
We're onto them.
We're new about them.
And then I find it interesting that they know the concept of government that works, but like policeman or a cop but is still watchman. But like, you know,
Or they have, you know, if they are watchers of some type, they do understand the danger of having, you know, if it's certain groups of people or certain, you know, people with a certain phenotype, whatever, like look.
And we have a tendency, as a species, we have a tendency to violence. We do.
Yeah, persecution is pretty pretty common.
Right. So you would definitely have to tiptoe, 100%.
Okay,
so, you know,
now can we talk about when they said they show them to like the observation deck and then they say one day you will see the universe as I do? I thought that was quite a cryptic statement. I was like, what does that mean?
To me, that could really mean anything. It could mean like you understand your place in the universe. Like it could just be you understand that you're not alone.
Maybe it was one of those like you as in man, like one day man will understand, like we'll see the universe as we do, right? Like we know there was some sort of like level of like communication wasn't exactly parallel. So it's like if we're taking liberties with other parts of it, we have to take liberties with all of it. And to me, this is one of those parts where I'm like looking at it and I'm like, well, maybe they didn't mean him specifically, but maybe they meant like when they were referring to him, it was like the royal we. It was all of us. Like, man, right. You will experience the universe as us, and you was all of us.
Now, this goes to the theory, though. So when I read that, I was like, okay, well, now you have human figures, human aliens, maybe they had a vertical slit, maybe they did not. But if they did not, and they're more of like an actual human, it goes with that theory that aliens or extraterrestrials are not necessarily from a different galaxy, but from a, like they are from, you get into a little time travel, as if they've come back to show, you know, you get in the time, well, anytime you get into time, like time travel, you get in a loop, but maybe like they got to a point where they had to come back to show, you know, to this is the start of us understanding the next level of technology.
Buddy, this is the start of Fast to the Future.
Fast to the Future. Boom, brought full circle.
100%. It's all about
the
family.
We're not aliens. We're family.
One day you'll see the universe as we do.
Because
somebody call Vin Diesel. We need to pitch this. We need to get on this.
Yeah. Do they have coronas in space? Do they have coronas in space? That's what I need to know.
Corona?
What else are they going to drink?
The beer? Yeah.
The beer or the disease?
No, the drink, so they can have their fucking family dinners and clink beers.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you know they got space coronas.
Oh, man. Space NOS, all that stuff.
All the good
space
shit.
Space drifting. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
Good shit. It's coming. One day
drifting around Jupiter.
One day we'll see the universe as they do. And it's going to be a lot cooler.
This is Herbert Shermer's case, to me, is very interesting because I find him very believable. Because he never profited from this story at all. And if anything, it caused his life to be worse, far worse than it needed to be.
Yeah, he never wrote a book, right? Did he?
He never wrote a book.
I mean, he told his story to at least, is it Ryan? Two books had his account in it.
But he didn't.
Two books by Eric Norman.
Yeah, but he
God's
never...
God's Demons and Space Chariots, Gods and Devils from Outer Space. Like, his story was in two of those books.
He's not going to Alien Con shaking hands and taking names.
No,
shaking
no.
limp fish, dead fish hands.
He could very well could have just been like, it was nothing. I never saw anything. He never, you know, he didn't have to do the regression hypnosis and things like that. He could have just never done any of that. That was all total stuff that he did of his own free will.
And he... You know, his father was a policeman and he had served in the military and he had gone to his dad and been like, you know, what do I do? What do I do here? I'm getting ridiculed around town. You know, this is hurting me. And his dad said, listen, you know, if you're telling the truth, just keep telling the truth. That's it. That's cool. All you got to do.
Well, imagine if Zell came to his dad and said that.
Yeah, he'd be like, let me tell you what the truth is, brother. You better run the business.
Put on your tool belt, grab your hammer and a pouch of nails.
Shut the fuck
and
up.
Build some fucking shit. Let's go.
Yeah. Herb got a tremendous amount of shit for coming out about this. Like, there was one event where he said that within the town cemetery, people had actually hung up like a type of like a dummy may have looked like an alien or something like that. And they had shot it full of holes and painted Herb on it.
Ooh.
And even the paramedics, like the people from the hospital, had got in on it and they took an ambulance out there and carted it away in an ambulance.
Yeah. And
fucked up shit.
Imagine getting bullied by your entire fucking town. That's what was happening to Herb.
Yeah. Poor Herbie.
And this is why, and Paul warned him. Officer Paul is like, don't fucking tell anyone.
Yeah.
Right? I can't even imagine, if Officer Paul was telling Herb this, I can't even imagine how many UFO encounters that were taken to the grave by people because they are too afraid to share their experiences because 100%. Of this kind of ridicule. It's crazy.
Especially at this time.
Yeah.
And Herb, like, things had actually gotten pretty good for him. Like, Herb actually ended up taking the position of police chief after Woloskin, the previous chief that had called him on his stuff, like, what is this, and checked out the UFO site. Like, he had taken over for him after he retired. And within that 2 months, like he had this shit, he had the fucking dummy thing. Somebody actually, what he said, somebody dynamited his patrol car.
Dude, soon as I heard that, the only thing that came through my head was, just the good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
There's a Dodge like Challenger fucking... ramping over his patrol car as
yeah,
it exploded.
Yeah, like as it explodes. it was fucking crazy.
That caused him actually to quit the job. Like, he had been police chief and this whole thing like pretty much just fucked up in his entire life. His wife left him.
Wasn't he police chief for like 3 days?
2 months.
2 months.
2 months.
That's it?
2 months. And then he fucking resigned because
he was done.
I don't need this.
So, you know, the encounter, you know, if whether that, you know, I guess you could say it either lends him credibility to that he experienced that much pushback, that much persecution because he revealed, you know, his sighting and, you know, his experience. And it's just like, it's like it fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Fucking blows.
Last thing I wanted to mention about this is it just occurred to me that this happened not that far after our famous account at Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia, where Ron Pond started his lifelong quest to discover the truth. I don't know. These don't seem that related, but I just couldn't help but notice the difference or the timeline of October 4th was Shag Harbor. And what do we got here? Was it December? Was it December 3rd?
So the same, like, honestly, this is, like I said, I can't even imagine. This is such a hot time for UFOs. UFOs were the thing. They were the craze. The amount of UFO encounters and abductees that are just, like, you know, unjustly ashamed of their encounter to say anything, and they just took the encounter to the grave with them. Because I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands more, of these kind of cases. Because you got to think, during this time, this guy in his small town, in the office, tells one other person, and that other person is like,
ooh,
I've seen him too. Literally, yeah, the first fucking person he tells is like, I've seen him too. You can't tell anyone. Like, it's going to be bad. We can't tell anyone. How many people had this, like, don't ask, don't tell mentality back then about UFO encounters? Of like,
all I know is fucking Ron Pond didn't resign. He got on a fucking boat and dived way down deeper than any other humans ever done and kicked some fucking ass.
Ron Pond's been kicking
Shermer
ass.
Shermer could take then. Fucking notes.
Yeah. If you would have dynamited Ron Pond's car, buddy, you'd probably getting cuffed. He's gonna take
that whole planet. That whole planet would have got fucking jerseyed.
Yeah,
wherever they're from, fucking, all of them.
The cameras are gonna turn off for a second, eh?
Yeah,
a little dead spot.
it's a fun case.
It's very interesting. I find him very believable. You know, this is someone who never benefited from it. He's not like a Travis Walton that, you know, is, you know, fucking kissing babies and signing autographs.
He's got no book deals. He's got no book deals.
Book deals, movies.
Give a nice handshake.
He didn't profit from this. This hurt him in many ways throughout his life. And you listen to his account, and there's aspects of it that I really latch onto, and I go like, that's very interesting. And there's also aspects of it that I believe are I'm not going to say he's lying, but what I'll say is I believe he's fabricating to sensationalize the story better. And he probably doesn't need to, because when he, you know, when he's talking about the fire shooting out the bottom and stuff, I go, wow, that sounds incredible. And then when later he's talking about the propulsion, I'm like, why is there fire shooting out? Doesn't make sense to me. There's things that don't add up for me in his story, but I think that's because he's told the story so many times, and I think he plays the crowd and he plays the audience. I mean, I think anyone who tells stories, comedians, anyone is guilty for this. You sensationalize some aspects to make the story pop more, and I think he's doing that in some circumstances, which I understand, but at the same time, I find detrimental to UFO encounters, because then people will latch onto those things that they don't like and be like, well, I don't believe any of it.
Yep.
Those are my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if we take this at face value and everything he's saying is he's trying to tell the truth, I feel like a lot of loss in translation, because I don't understand why you have to come to Earth for energy. I can't wrap my head around why we need to come here for electricity. Yeah. Electricity is
it's solar. Yeah,
it's everywhere. I mean, unless they were
maybe like, we got the good stuff, baby. Maybe our stuff's like 91 octane, right? Like our fucking juice.
So you
get some of that Earth juice, baby. Woo! No wonder their machine was shooting flames. They got that loaded up on Earth juice.
That's not how electricity works. You're going to traverse the, you're going to fold space time to jump through wormholes or whatever the fuck you're doing to get here. And then you're going to have like, we're going to plug into your 110 volt outlets and recharge our ship to get back. You're like, you didn't think that went through very good.
Their propulsion system is run on that, but all their like electrical and their lights, electricity, baby. You got to top up.
That's what I mean. I think if that, if everything he says is, if he's trying to, if he's, whatever he's saying is completely true, it seems lost in translation. But as you said, it doesn't really seem like he profited. If anything, it more, it ruined his life more than made it better. So it's a toss up for me. I don't know. It's not my favorite case, but I'm not going to just chuck it in the trash. Dan?
It's a good case, however you look at it, I think. Having a firsthand account of him, you know, reporting this, you know, he, again, Braden said he's told this story. It seems he's told this story multiple times. I never really get on board with the regression hypnosis stuff. I know it's been...
You don't believe Dr. Sprinkle? First off, when I read that, I was like, is that a real name? Is that part of the made-up story? And then I was like, oh, no, that's official. Okay.
I'm pretty sure regression hypnosis has been, at least from what I've read, is like been thoroughly debunked as a thing. At least it's not admissible in court. I mean, it's not, you know, it will not fly in a court of law. So it's like you can't use it as testimony, or you can't use it or whatever, because there are fundamental flaws. There are fundamental flaws in that. I mean, there are fundamental flaws in human memory in general, but. You know, regression hypnosis is something that strongly can be affected by suggestion or experiences or anything that you read. It's just kind of in there, so it doesn't really count.
I mean, brain's powerful.
I agree with that. But the thing for me is that, like, I've been to a couple of, like, hypnotist shows and stuff. I've gone up on stage, and the whole time I'm like, this, like, just kind of playing along. And the hypnotist will always be like, you're out, leave. And I'm like, okay, right? All right. And then I've seen people who like are not really outgoing and who would not normally play along, like really, really play along. And I'm always kind of like, I know this is fake, but at the same time, how the fuck are you getting this person to play along in this, like, in this hooey? But you'd poo-poo me off the stage, because I would probably do everything stupid that you're asking. I would just do, and I'm not hypnotized. I'm like, okay, like, hey, 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 look at me. Look at me. Watch me do some funny stuff. And he kicks me off the stage, and then he'll get people. And I'm like, I've been with people who are not those people, and they'll do this shit on stage. So that part of it always fascinates me a little bit. So I know, and I understand. I completely agree. This is inadmissible court. To me, it's some sort of pseudoscience. But I'm not going to discount the fact that I've seen people who, you know, are really shy and reserved, do shit that's so fucking out of character for them, and been like, and then when they come down, I'm like, were you really hypnotized? This is what I say to everyone. I go, were you really hypnotized? Or are you just fucking around? And they go, no, it was kind of weird. Like, I just kind of felt like just to go for it. I felt like really loose and comfortable.
Well,
I think
that could actually, I mean, we could probably do a whole case file on hypnotism itself, like, you know, that kind of topic, because I think there's stuff to it. I don't think it's necessarily like a magic trick or something like that, or it goes that deep. I think it's more, you know, my ideas about hypnotism are different, but you know, but for him, like, I believe perhaps he saw something, and that's what a lot of the, you know, the Condon report at least reported, or the people that interacted with Herb Shermer, like, it was, he saw something. What he believes he saw was real. He believes that he saw something.
Andrew, if you got time before your draft picks, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a long individual wrap up. Andrew, you're up. Let's go.
We had to wait for Andrew to get back.
I mean, it's tough to say. Like, I like the fact that he's not profiting off this.
He's like, tough to say. You know, I've got this guy out of New York. I might pick first overall. It's going to be a tough one for me. A toss up. You know,
I'm not taking a Yankee or a Met first overall. I'll tell you that much right now. Not going to fucking happen.
All right. Let's, why don't we get into a little space news?
All right. What are we starting with?
Want to escape Earth? This company claims to have bottled the smell of space. Yeah.
I don't know how this works.
I don't get it either. According to those that have been, it space smells. It's a little bit burnt, a little like gunpowder. Has some rum notes. And this article says, and if you're astronaut Tony Antonelli, it's a smell that's different than anything else. And apparently it's been bottled. Soon you'll be able to order your own La Space.
Space.
The only space smell that anyone actually knows is whatever is inside the space station.
Yeah.
A mix of how many different plastics and chemicals and metals are on that fucking thing.
Well, I've heard like seared meat. You know, from podcasts I've listened to with astronauts and stuff.
Yeah, that's recycled air.
Yeah, so it's I'm like, it's very interesting. And they say that, with the fragrance company Stephen Pierce, they've used it, they've recreated this space smell in a laboratory. And, basically they've taken it to astronauts and I'm not going to say astronauts in the whole, whoever they're paying to say it smells like space is agreeing.
Hey, I would buy a bottle. Let's go. Let's package that up.
Yeah, buddy.
Bring it over.
It's called, it's called Eau de Space.
Last stuff I bought was fucking Brute, and that was in like 2003. So remember that shit?
Brute?
No.
Everybody's dad had it. Nah, aftershave.
I don't fucking remember.
Buddy, yeah. I had Lambert. Calvin Klein B or whatever. That's all I used when I was 12.
You never had Brute?
No.
I don't remember.
It's bad.
Yo, does Papa Conspiracy seem like a cologne guy to you?
Potentially.
No, he was not.
Anyways, stay tuned for your chance to purchase a little smell of space coming soon.
What does space? I hope that it becomes a thing. I hope it's not too expensive. If it's not too expensive, you know what? I'm going to reach out to whatever company's making this, and I'm going to see if I can get a bottle that we can give away.
Sure. You do that.
Well, I mean, their Kickstarter already has like $450,000 apparently.
Yeah, it's so, like 10 times more than they thought, and they still have a month 100 left.
100 times their goal.
Oh, 100?
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
With a month left to go. So, either they're running off with that or we're getting the smell of space.
If you haven't seen this already, the historic moon landing footage has been enhanced by AI. So basically the Apollo footage has been enhanced by AI and it is incredible. If you haven't seen it, we're showing it on the live stream right now. It is so fucking cool.
Yeah. Apollo 16 in 60 FPS, fucking high def. It looks fucking rad.
They took it, they converted to 720p HD and then increased the frame rate from 12 to 60 frames it was shot in 12 frames, so it was always really choppy. That's why it was like, oh, that's fucking fake, it's so shitty. But that they didn't have great handheld or mobile film recorders back then, but now through AI they've filled in all the frames. You can see a nice crisp 60 frames per second. You can find that.
To me, it's crazy that AI can take footage that's that old and make it that crisp. Cause then I'm like, that means when you shoot, even though we are shooting with shitty cameras, that means that information is there somewhere in that footage to make that. You know what I mean? Like, even though we didn't have the technology, we captured a moment and that all that information is there and AI just puts it back together properly.
Yep. You can see all those secret moon bases. All high def.
Yeah. All the craters with the bases.
Yep.
They look very close. You'll find them.
Very, very cool.
You can find that pretty much anywhere. Just search upgraded NASA film or go on NASA.
Yeah, or go to our YouTube or join our Patreon and you can watch the live stream and we show it to you.
Yeah.
Better. What else do I have? The first Arab space mission to Mars just successfully launched from Japan.
That's true. The very first one launched from Japan. Going to Mars with it's going to be an orbiter going for one Martian year. And I actually have the video of it. I was playing right now. I don't know if you guys watch it. It's pretty cool. I'll go from the quick countdown here. Boom, liftoff. They're going up.
It is, it's always very cool to see other nations and, you know, investing in space flights and investing in
space
exploration.
So what nation is it exactly?
It's the UAE.
It's the okay. Yeah, it's the Emirates.
Arab Emirates.
Is it UAF, yeah. Or UAE. Launching from Japan, because not every country has their own launch capabilities on their own soil. So Japan. Yeah. Japan was
they're
a go-to.
Heading to Mars, look for that Martian oil and Martian spices.
Hey,
delicious,
yeah,
Martian spices.
If they find some type of fossil fuel on Mars, we'll be colonize that place in 4 years.
They find Martian spices, we'll be there in like half a year. Delicious. That is what drives human exploration is our stomachs.
Spices?
Spices.
That's all I had for spices.
You think that's
you
why?
They,
why
anything?
Did you think they wanted to go to the West Indies? Like spices.
The spice trade. Big deal.
Yeah, they're like, our food is so bland. We need to spice it up, baby.
Spice is life, man. Spice is life.
No, that's all I had for space news. That's
Theorite of the week.
Oh yes, something we don't normally do, but we're gonna do it tonight.
So this week's Theorite of the week is Denise Sine. It's also D-Nice Sine. It's also her birthday coming up. So happy early birthday. Your friend Lisa has been reaching out to us a bunch to make sure you got the shout out. And D-Nice is a new Patreon supporter, so we only felt it was fitting to give you the Theorite of the week as your early birthday present. So thank you, D-Nice, for joining Patreon. And you can thank your friend Lisa for letting us know it's your birthday.
Hell yeah. The Randomatron is fucking broken. The X3 is done. I can't get it working. It's fucking cooked. We're going to be building a new one. It will have new features.
It's always cooked, especially when a case falls already into an hour and a half. It's always cooked.
No, well,
the very last thing that it spit out, though, was 5-star reviews.
Yeah,
it shot us a couple extra 5-star reviews. We haven't done them in a while.
Oh, good. Andrew's going to like this one. 5-star review from Binks2921. Andrew is the number one theorist. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean.
Hey-o.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey-o.
We've got also, do you guys want to read one?
I got one I'm going to read. It's a twist of a review. It goes like this. 0100110011101110111010110101001. That's the first line. I put it into a binary translator just to skip it all. All it says is
Skynet, write this review.
Written by Skynet, circa 19. When was Skynet supposed to come online?
2018.
All those ones and zeros, a huge paragraph just says, love this podcast. 5 stars for you guys. Sending you a Twitter direct message of a conspiracy of mine. I couldn't figure out who sent it, but we appreciate it.
Skynet.
Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Tim Green. Not Skynet. Tim Green. Thanks for the first ever binary
5-star. And I got another one from Optional Moron. This is a fucking great 5-star review. Probably one of the best 5-star reviews I've ever heard. We could use a lot more 5-star reviews like this. My bae, Braden. I have had the pleasure of never seeing what you guys look like. That is a pleasure. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
100%. If you know what we look at like, if you know what we look like, this show has gone downhill for you big time. I plan to keep it that way by listening to this amazing podcast. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Shout out to the number one, Braden, however you spell that, space
Craig.
News guy. Boy, get my gun. Yeah,
boy, get my gun.
That's a good 5-star review. Leave us a 5-star review if you're listening to this and you haven't already. If you at all want to help the show, you don't want to get on our Patreon, the bare minimum to help our show, subscribe and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps.
And I think not only iTunes, I think CastBox, Stitcher, and a couple other places have started doing reviews. So if you're listening on those platforms, use those. We'll find them. We'll find them eventually, and we'll get to them. But if you are on our Patreon, the first week you're on our Patreon, you get your goddamn name read and usually butchered. Obliterated. So this week, newest Patreons are Chloe, Claire, Kelsey, Lynn, Kurt. All nice, normal names this week. Nothing too crazy so far. Vexington. I don't know. Questionable. Brandon. Sam Sprick. Machine Gun Jubblies. That's a real name. And that's it for this week. So that's thank you awesome. Very much for supporting
Jubblies
the show.
Jubblies or Jubilees?
Jubblies. Jubblies. I like Jubblies better.
Jubblies?
No, it's okay. I like Jubblies. Jubblies.
Get on our sure. Patreon, guys.
Take Jubblies all day.
$5 a month gets you after hours, gets you bonus case files, gets you all the sweet stuff we do, which is tons, Dungeons and Dragons, one-star reviewers, cosmic channels, tons of stuff on our Patreon, and it directly helps our show. So get on there. And thank you to everyone who is a Patreon and our Discord, which is fucking unreal.
Yeah, join us in after hours on Discord immediately after this show. We do that live or we put it out later as a podcast. Oh.
Anything else?
I'm going to do a quick requiem for Band of the Week. I've got shit on by every streaming service, YouTube, you name it. I can no longer play your band's song on this podcast.
Even with permission.
Even with permission.
Screwed.
So, but what I'm still going to do, if you have an original music, original release, any genre, good music's good music. I do not discriminate. Still send it to alientheorist@gmail.com. Send me your links. And the very least I can do is I will promote it on our socials whenever possible.
You know what? Maybe what we could do too is still do Band of the Week, but we don't finish with the song. We say the band. We direct them people to our social media to listen to the song that we're going to post after the show. We'll figure out some sort
something
of creative
like
solution.
We just no longer can play the music on the podcast and or YouTube. You know what? Let's take that as the success of the show has led us to get it screwed over. So
yeah,
we unfortunately cannot do it anymore. But yeah, still send your songs in and we will do everything we can to get those out. And that's it.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace, everybody.